Hare Krishna. This podcast is a lecture by His Holiness Niranjana Swami on April 16, 2006 in Hartford, Connecticut. Initiation ceremony of Achyut Das.
Namaste Saraswati Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pancha Kapta Turubhyasya Kripasi Gaurayaja Patitana Bhavaniya Vaishnava. This evening, we're having an initiation ceremony, which consists of Hom, fire sacrifice. And the sacrifice is performed in order to invoke auspiciousness. Certainly it is an auspicious event. And the Vedic sacrifices require that we perform fire sacrifice, and we offer various ingredients into the sacrificial fire as an offering to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. As the prescription is given in the Vedic literatures that when all sacrifices are performed, ultimately, they are meant to be performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. In previous ages, very elaborate fire sacrifices were performed, and the ingredients of the sacrifice were the fruits of one's labor, which are offered into the sacrificial fire, which is considered to be like the consuming agent of the mouth of the Supreme Lord. And this is one of the means by which the Supreme Lord accepts our offerings of sacrifice to Him. So in this way, various fruits, vegetables, spices, grains, which is considered to be the fruit of one's labor, the necessities of life, are being offered into the sacrificial fire. A small fire. This is not a very elaborate fire. And various Vedic mantras are chanted, which are specifically meant to, for specific activities. There are various mantras which are performed in various Vedic ceremonies. For each activity, there is a mantra that accompanies it. And therefore, you will hear the priest tonight. He'll be chanting, as he did in the beginning, various mantras to invoke auspiciousness, as he explained. And also, there are various decorations in the sacrificial arena, which various mantras were also chanted at the time of putting down these various decorations, which represent also certain deities who are also requested to come, and their presence was invoked by the chanting of those various mantras. So both through the chanting of Vedic mantras and by the performance of the sacrificial fire, this is meant to create an auspicious atmosphere for any event. Oftentimes such sacrifices are performed for moving into a new home. Sacrifices are performed for weddings. Such sacrifices are performed for many different types of events, which are samskaras, or purificatory activities that one engages throughout his life, which are meant for personal purification and simultaneously qualification for associating ultimately with the Supreme Lord. The whole purpose of sacrifice is, as we said, to satisfy the Lord. And this is one type of sacrifice. And also, as we know, there are other types of sacrifices, such as the sacrifice of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Just as we chant Vedic hymns to invoke auspiciousness, it is also understood that the chanting of the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is a recommended sacrifice for satisfying the Lord in this age. If the Lord is pleased by the performance of sacrifice, then he can bestow everything necessary for one to live happily in this world and ultimately to fulfill the ultimate purpose of human life, which is to realize our eternal relationship with the Supreme Being. So, the object of this sacrifice that we are performing, both through chanting and through this sacrificial fire, is none other than the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who is described as the original primeval person and the original cause of all causes, as we just chanted in the prayers of the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita begins with the prayer Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadya Adi Govinda Savakarana Karana, which means that Krishna is Ishvara Parama. He is the Supreme Parama, Supreme Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal body, Sat, Chit, which is full of knowledge and full of bliss, Vigraha, in a form. Anadya Adi Govinda, he is the original person. Anadi is also described in Brahma Samhita, Advaita Machutama Anadi Ananta Rupam Adya Purana Purusham Nava Yogamancha Vedeshu Dulabham Adulabham Atma Bhakto Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. If Krishna is Advaita, we offer our supreme obeisances to the Supreme Lord Govinda, who is non dual, which means there is no second to him. He's a chuttam, which means he is infallible. His body is not subject to decay. He's an adi, which means he is the beginning. He is beginningless. Anantarum rupam, which means his form is endless. Adya, purusham purana. He is the most ancient person. Navayovanamsha. But he had always manifest the body of an ever-fresh youth. Beautiful, most beautiful body of an ever-fresh youth. This Supreme Lord cannot be realized simply by studying the Vedas, but he is attainable by the unalloyed devotion of the soul, of the self. That is how he can be achieved. So, this is the object of our worship and the object of our sacrifice, is to please the Supreme Lord and ultimately to establish our relationship with the Supreme Lord, which is understood as to be the actual goal of human life. As we know that anyone who has any established goals they want to obtain or achieve in life, then in order to achieve such goals, it requires great endeavor. It is not something which is very easily obtained. If a person wants to become very wealthy, then it requires great endeavor. If you want to become very intelligent, it requires great endeavor. And even if it appears that such persons do not perform such great endeavors in this life to achieve some objective of goals, a desirable objective of goals, then it's understood that in a previous life, those austerities were performed, and therefore he was able to obtain them in this life. So, in the same way, in the Vedic culture, when a person wishes to ultimately achieve his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord and to satisfy him, then he has to make some commitment. So the initiation is a form of commitment. When somebody who has actually realized that, just like, for example, initiation tonight is for Bhakti Eric, and Bhakti Eric has been associating with devotees of Krishna for 8 years, right? About 8 years he's been associated. So, it can be understood that it's not something whimsically that he's taken upon himself to make this personal commitment. It's something that he's deliberated upon, he's thought about it, he's assessed what are his objectives in life, what things he wishes to accomplish in this life, and he's balanced everything in such a way that he realizes that the goal of his objective is, as he mentioned to me personally, is that he wants to achieve more complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And the means for achieving that means commitment. To the degree that we make some personal commitment internally, then to that degree we can expect that we can make progress towards obtaining our goal. In Krishna consciousness, when once someone makes a commitment, that our understanding is that if the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller, and He is the Supreme Proprietor, Supreme Enjoyer, and every living being has an eternal relationship with Him, then Krishna being a person, which is the realization of the highest realization of the Supreme Lord, Vedanti Vidas Tatvajnanam Advayam Rameti Paramitmiti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. The learned transcendentalists who know this absolute truth, they call Him Raman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Raman is the all-pervasive aspect of God who is present everywhere within the entire creation, as He explains in Bhagavad Gita, Vatsdani, Rabhutani. He explains that He pervades this entire cosmic manifestation by His impersonal energies. Another aspect of the Supreme Lord is the Lord within the heart, who is the Supersoul in the heart of all living beings, Paramatma. And another aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth is His personal feature, Bhagavan. So, therefore, when one makes a commitment to please or to satisfy the Lord in His most personal aspect, personal feature, He helps. That is what a devotee is actually the essence of the life of a devotee, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Yogi Nama Visavisham Madkatinam Taratmana Sharavam Bhajate Yomam Same Yukritamo Mataha. He says that of all yogis, one who abides in me in great faith, worshipping me in devotional service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. So Krishna explains that one who has great faith in me, worshipping me, he's most intimately united with me, and I consider him to be the highest. So Krishna is the goal in the life of a devotee, and the means for achieving that goal is, in this age of Kali, is through chanting of the holy names of the Lord. What Bhakti Eric is making tonight is he's making a commitment that I will chant Hare Krishna and I will accept this name of the Lord and make it a part of my life, the basis, the foundation of my life. I will aspire to achieve the fruit of chanting. What is the fruit of chanting Hare Krishna? What is the actual goal? What does one want to achieve by chanting Hare Krishna? As we said, anybody who wishes to achieve some fruit, some endeavor is there. Want to become wealthy? We can work, we can perform our practical work, and we can become educated, we can learn various ways of how to perform our work, and become very qualified. This is not dismissed as a part of life, but it is not the ultimate goal of life, because as we established in the beginning, that life continues even after the death of this body. As the soul is eternal, as Krishna is eternal and is beginningless and has no end, in the same way, who is the Supreme Soul, all other living beings who are His parts and parcels are also eternal. And therefore, the ultimate objective of life is to know what is my relationship, how can I please, how can I satisfy God. This is the goal of any religious system, any religious tradition, is to please, to serve, and to learn to love the Supreme Lord. Love, the criteria or characteristic of love, means selfless, that we want to please somebody without expecting anything in return. That is real love. That is one of the criteria. Another criteria of love is that we want to please them and to satisfy them, and we think of that only as the objective. When we want to please others, we try to please them and to satisfy them. This is the symptom of love is manifested throughout all of society. And therefore we see that everyone is establishing loving relationships with friends, with families, with community, with society. But the basis or the foundation of that love is that we understand that we are all parts and parcels of God. And just as Krishna says, when one sees the sun in the sky, then everything which was previously in darkness becomes revealed. In the same way that when one understands Krishna, then everything that was previously unknown becomes known. And when we understand our relationship with Krishna and learn to love Krishna, then we can also love everything that's connected with Krishna, which means all of His parts and parcels. So therefore, the fullest manifestation of love is understood or realized when we understand what is our relationship with the Supreme Lord and how to please Him. And it is recommended in this age, in the age of Kali, the age of quarrel, no one can dispute that the symptoms of Kali are very prominent, where slight provocation can invoke quarrel and fighting amongst individuals and nations. One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is people have many disturbances within the mind. And that is what another symptom of Kali Yuga. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan astihiko mahadgana. As it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. The age of Kali is an ocean of all bad qualities. But it has one good quality, that kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangam varam vijit. That if one chants these names of Krishna, then he can achieve this perfection of life. He can achieve the pleasure of the Lord. And he can actually become free from his conditioning of the material world and realize and see everyone and love everyone by seeing them as spiritual sparks in quality of one with God. Such a person is described to be a true knower of things. What then can be illusion and anxiety for him, as explained in the Isha Upanishad? The one who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Supreme Lord, he is a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So seeing Krishna, understanding Krishna, means that we can also see everyone in proper perspective and love everyone in proper perspective. This is the foundation of love and spiritual life. So, the means for establishing that relationship with the Supreme Lord and to serve Him in this age is recommended to chant His names. That is all. It is not a very difficult sacrifice that one has to perform in this age of Kali. Previous sacrifices were very, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada once in a lecture that I attended in Shimayapur Dham, he said that previously one has to perform austerities. One may think that he sits himself into a circle of fire and sits there in the middle of the heat of the summer to perform sacrifices and austerities, or submerge himself into the cold water in the middle of the winter, performing such austerities. But these types of austerities are not required. Our austerity is that we simply try to ultimately please the Supreme Lord by following the essential instructions which are given by the spiritual master, which the very foundation of those instructions are to chant Hare Krishna. That is the foundation. Everything else, all other sacrifices, all other austerities, everything is contained within that one instruction, chant Hare Krishna. And when one actually dedicates his life to chanting, the result is that gradually what happens is that the devotee begins to realize more and more Krishna's presence within his name. The devotee begins to clear away the unwanted things within the heart, which are obstacles on the path of which he has chosen to achieve or to attain, which is relationship with God. All these things are all these impediments are removed by the grace of the Supreme Lord Himself, who is present in His name. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janapa yupashante tesha nitya biyuktanam yoga kshema vaham yaham." He says, "Those who are always endeavoring, meditating upon Me, for them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have." Huh? He is helping. Prabhupada would always, in connection to this verse, he would always give the simplest example, that Krishna says that if you take one step to Me, I'll take 10 steps to you. I'll take 100 steps to you. Just take one step and I will help. I'm there, ready to carry anything that you lack. Now, I remember one time my sister, she was showing me this picture that meant a lot to her. I can't remember the exact quote that was given in the picture, but basically it was a picture of footprints through the sand. And it was this Lord speaking that someplace along that there was only two sets of there was only one set of footprints. There was two sets of footprints, and then there was only one set of footprints. And the Lord was saying that I'm always with you. And then first they say, how is it that you are always with Me when there's I only see one set of footprints? And He said, that's because I was carrying you. And my sister was showing me this, and she was actually. It meant a lot to her, and she was actually trying to establish, at least with me also, that she also feels a sense of need of being carried, of being helped. You know? Everyone wants to know that their efforts are being recognized. Everybody needs that kind of encouragement that I'm doing something to please you. Please give me some signs, some indication that you know that you're pleased by my efforts. So Krishna is a person. And because he's a person, he recognizes the commitment within one's heart that one makes after many years of studying the Vedic literatures, of chanting Hare Krishna, of associating with devotees. And the person within his heart, he makes a decision, I want to make a commitment. I want to go further. I want to make progress and show Krishna that I'm ready to dedicate more of myself to remembering him, to pleasing him, and to worshipping him by chanting his holy names. So this first initiation is actually that type of commitment. It is called Harinam initiation, when the candidate actually makes his vows that every day I will chant Hare Krishna, and he makes his vows that he will follow the basic principles of spiritual life, of human life, which is that he will not take any meat, he will not take intoxications, he will not have illicit sexual connections, and no gambling. These are basic principles of life. A devotee makes a commitment. But as we said, that in spiritual life, it is not that we can make vows and then it's by our own efforts alone that we can follow them. In spiritual life, if we actually satisfy the Lord by chanting the holy names of the Lord, then the Lord will help us and carry us. Vishayavinivartate niraharasya dehina rasavajam risopyasa param jishtva nirvartate. That we may restrict ourselves from different activities, even though there may be some taste, the sense for sense object still remains. But a devotee, by experiencing a higher taste, he can cease these engagements and become fixed in consciousness. This higher taste, this pleasure, is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of a higher taste. Right? Just I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, we used to distribute these little pamphlets, Krishna the reservoir of pleasure. Right? Yeah, all pleasure ultimately is found from Krishna, originates from Krishna. So Krishna gives pleasure. He gives us a higher pleasure so that we can follow these restrictions, not by simply by dint of our strength of our own commitment, but also he helps us by giving us a higher pleasure. Therefore, that is the type of commitment and relationship that is established at the time of initiation. And therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kantiya Patijanihi Nami Bhakya Panasiti. He says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, the one who devotes himself to me will never be vanquished. I will recognize, I will help. He will be helped and will not be destroyed. Even if he falls down in an immature stage, there still is no danger of his being unsuccessful. Because Krishna will always accept the attitude, he is bhava-grahi. He knows the attitude within the heart of the person. He understands that even though the person may not be able to perform everything perfectly, he knows the intention. And that's what he sees. He's there within the heart, and he's, as we said, that is one aspect of the Lord. But beyond that, he is eternally situated in the spiritual world. And therefore, the help that is received for traversing this path, ultimately to establish our Supreme Lord, takes place both by the Lord and the Lord within the heart, as the Supersoul, and it also takes place to the help of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. Just as it is stated in the scriptures, that when the path is very difficult, I am blind, my feet are slipping, but I pray to the saints to grant me their stick of mercy for my support. In the same way, when one is traversing along a difficult path and is slipping and falling, if he takes extra help from a stick, it is very easier, it becomes easier to traverse the difficult path and to keep oneself from slipping. In the same way, we take the help from the devotees. This is a little bit about the meaning or purpose behind this event tonight, this of initiation, and as we said, the commitment to chant Hare Krishna every day in one's life, and to make the goal of chanting, to please the Lord, to satisfy the Lord, and to learn to love the Supreme Lord, to make that one's goal in his life. Everything else becomes part and parcel of that one objective. Nothing, Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes say, And in spiritual life, it does not mean that we have to give everything up. He says we simply have to add one thing. That is all. He said in spiritual life, if he just gives the example, if you have so many zeros and you add them up, they all equal to zero. But if you put one in front of all your zeros, each zero immediately becomes very significant. So in the same way, we simply add Krishna to everything else that we do in this life. And the best means for adding Krishna is by chanting his names in this age of Kali. So this is the commitment that Bhakti Eric will be making this evening. He'll be taking his vows and commitment to chant Hare Krishna for this life and to make that his aspiration, his goal, is to be able to chant Krishna's name purely on the platform of pure love. So, as is traditional, whenever we have this Vedic sacrifice, as we explained before, there will be next there will be the fire sacrifice, and the priest Gangam Prabhupada will be chanting different mantras, and at certain periods of time he requests others to chant along with him, to repeat word for word these different prayers to invoke auspiciousness. And also, before we do that, we will also give Bhakti Eric his beads, which are right there, if you can hand them to me, Gangam Prabhupada. And we also give him a name of Krishna, which helps him and others to think of Krishna. If our goal in life is to be able to think of him, then certainly we have a name. It helps us to remember him. Anybody calls us, immediately we can think of Krishna. Yes, I am so-and-so, thus. I am the servant of Krishna. And anyone who calls, they also get the benefit to think of Krishna. So, we will give Bhakti Eric a name today that will help him and others to remember Krishna. So we'll ask him to please come forward and to ask him to state what vows that you are accepting today.
I vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna every day, at least 16 rounds.
Okay.
I vow to abstain from meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication.
Okay. So we have chanted on these beads and we're giving them to you. And we've given you, as we said, a name of Krishna. In fact, we quote this name tonight. One of Krishna's names is infallible. Infallible means that Krishna cannot make any errors, he cannot commit any mistakes. He is perfect, his intelligence is supreme. And therefore, everything he does is perfect. And another meaning of this name is also not subject to decay. We quoted that verse: "Advaitam Achyuta Manayam Ananta Rupa." So we are giving you the name Achyuta Das.
Yeah.
Happy that his family came. And we're very pleased that you've come to participate in this auspicious event. That you've come in of itself is a blessing to all of us. And we feel very, very proud and happy that you have come to take part. And we ask you as his parents to please bless him in his goals in his life, as well as everyone else who are present. Please give your blessings. He is dependent upon everybody's kindness and mercy. Not simply by my efforts alone will he be able to achieve his goals in his life. So we ask you all please to also assist him by giving him your blessings as well. Amen.